Yes. And it's also on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
All right. Okay, so what we were talking about? Yeah, so the earlier database applications were following the hierarchical and network model, but nowadays we are following the relational model in which the data is in the form of relations or tables which are flat, and these tables or relations are interrelated. So originally this model came in 1970. With the help of the scientist name was Codd, you don't need to remember, I'm not going to ask that question in exam. Then later on after the relational model, there are many more models came which are object oriented, object relational, but nowadays we have NoSQL and other MongoDB which is not based on this also, but relational models are still very, very popular, and they are still used in many, many big corporations or database applications. There is another way of storing the data, which is, because here if you see, the data is so much structured, right? It follows a particular format. You need to have rows, you need to have columns. So it's that tabular structure. But sometimes the data is not so structured. You don't have all the records. What do we mean by record? For example, in this relational model, the most important thing is all the records, all the rows should have the similar type of data. Every student should have student ID, what's their name, what's their age, what's their phone number. So all the records have similar type of data. But many of the applications, we don't have the records which has similar type of data. For example, in some cases there are only two fields, in some cases there are five fields, in some cases there are seven fields. So all of them are not following the similar kind of structure. And in that case, using the relational model is not that beneficial. And there we need to use something which can store the unstructured data. This is structured data. Each of the row is following the same format, same number of values in different columns. But if this is not the case, then we use another approach to store our data in the form of XML. And we will learn that also in this particular course. How to store data with XML, which is for most semi-structured or unstructured data. Then there are, this is actually talking about on the internet, we have data in the form of HTML. We use HTML, hypertext markup language, to create the links among the pages and the data. And there is another one, look at the second line. A new set of applications and e-commerce is using new standard like XML. This we are going to learn in this particular course also. So we will basically learn two ways of storing the data, relational model by using relational model, and another one is XML. So when not to use database? First of all, cost can be an issue if you are not using the free database management system. And in the company, if you have to purchase a commercially available database management system, then it can be an issue. Usually in organization, if you are establishing a centralized server, then it needs to be a powerful machine. It cannot be a simple desktop machine. Or if your application doesn't require multi-user access, if multiple users don't need to use it at the same time, the application's requirement is such that only one user need to use it for their own purpose, then it's not better to move to database approach, because the main benefits comes in multi-user access, where there is a large amount of data, and everybody needs to see the data as soon as it changes by someone of the user. So if those are the requirements, then database approach is a better approach. If that is not the requirement, it's better to keep a individualized data in an Excel file or in some other format. So this is about the database management system and the basic concepts. Before we start the next chapter, I want to tell you that on the blackboard, I will send you a mail also once it will be finalized. So you will get a mail from me. There is a first assignment already uploaded there. You already know from the first lecture that you are going to do 7 assignments, out of which you have to pass 6 assignments to sit in the final exam. And the first one is about the data requirements. So what you have to do, see the line after the red line. You have to make a group of 3 people each. I would like you to create your own group. You will be more comfortable. But if you have any problem, I can create the groups for you. But then it will be random. So I will prefer if you make the groups. For the remote students, they can do it individually. Or if they want, I know the mails of some of the remote students. I can provide them each other addresses so they can talk with each other and they can make up a group. The last date of assignment 1 is 7th of September, very soon. So what you have to do in assignment 1 is, first of all, make a group. Inform me. Tell me your group member's name. Either after the class, if you can make during the break, or by mail. So tell me your group names, group members, and then you need to find a real life problem. Which area you want to create your database about? It can be anything. You can choose a bus company, you can choose a pharmacy, you can choose hospital, you can choose except the student environment. Because we are already all the time we are discussing that, so most of the things are solved in the class itself. So try to choose some new area and make up your group. So your job is to tell me your team member's name and also the area on which you are creating your database. Because I don't want many groups working on the same area. So whoever give, if there are multiple groups choosing the same area, the first group will get that area. Others have to change it. And then we are going to do data requirements collection and analysis phase. I'm going to talk about in few moments what you are going to do in that, what is expected from you. And in next lab session, there will be an example after SQL, which will be similar to what you are going to do during your assignment 1. So assistants, teaching assistants will provide you an example that how to collect the data requirements for a particular application by taking one example. So you have to do exactly the same. And then after you finish the step 2, your requirements should look something like that. For example, this is a subset. I mean, yours will be a little bit bigger and more detailed. I just gave you an example. For example, if we are making for the university, you need to write that we need to store the student details. Which details? Student ID and all the other details. There will be teachers. We need to store details about the teachers. There will be courses. We need to store these details about the courses. There will be grades. There will be teaching assistants. There will be many, many more things. So this is about the main entities. And you need to also specify that, because this will just make the specific tables. So you need to establish the relationship also. So you need to write something like that there will be a student, and which will be described with the help of student ID, their first name, their last name, and other details. Similarly, there will be teachers, and they will be described with their, maybe again, ID, their first name, last name, their qualification, etc. Then there will be courses, and you have course code, course name, if the course has a prerequisite, which semester it is opened, etc. So that you are going to write there. Then you need to also say that these teachers are teaching those students. So you have to write here in simple English that teacher teaches students. Like here, if you see this, students have one major department. So what it is doing, it is actually establishing a relationship between department and students. So you'd need to explain all those relationships also. Students are taking the courses. Teachers are teaching these courses and students. So all that you can think about in your area, you need to specify all that also in your list of data requirements. Because once you have the complete list of data requirements, then you will make a ER model, the database model, based on those requirements. So it needs to be complete. Of course, sometimes it's not possible to have 100% requirements. So maybe while making the ER model, the next assignment, you will think, okay, we forgot this. So just add that also. But try to think as much as you can and try to make as complete list as possible. Any questions about the assignment?
Is it possible to make diagrams in the workbench?
I need to check whether it is using the same notations, everything. So we chose this time another tool, ER modeling tool, which is the Creately. So that we will give a link when the time comes. Don't worry, you don't have to note down. So when the time comes, we will give you a link. And this time we have made sure that the book notations and the tool notations are same, so that you don't have to convert from one to another. So Creately uses exactly the same notations which I'm using in the class or the book is following, that Peter Chain's notation. I haven't put the submission instructions yet, but I'll put the submission instructions soon. You only need to update only one, upload only one for team. So make sure one of you is uploading. So before we go to the second chapter, let's talk about what I expect you to do in the assignment. So basically, the right hand side is the thing you are going to do during all the assignment. So the first, from the mini world, you will choose a particular application area, and in assignment one, you are going to do requirement collection and analysis. So you will collect the requirements by researching that particular area. Once the requirements will be collected, the assignment two is you will make the conceptual model. That's the chapter 3 we are going to study. So that is your assignment 2. And once the conceptual design will be done, then you will do the logical design. You convert the ER model into relational model in the form of tables, and you will do the normalization over it. So that will be your assignment 3. Once this will be done, then you are going to create the SQL statement to create those tables inside your MySQL. That will be assignment 4. And load that tables with the data and do some queries. So that will be assignment 4. And then assignment 5, 6, 7 is related with XML. So these are basically exactly we are going to learn the database course in this particular order. So we are starting with the requirement. We will then learn conceptual modeling, which is ER modeling, entity relationship. Some of you might know UML. It is similar to that. So we will do the conceptual design. Then we will do the logical design, convert that model into relational. Then we will use SQL to create our tables inside MySQL, which you are, I am sure by the time we will reach step 4 or assignment 4, you will have enough labs to have the knowledge about SQL that you can create the tables and manipulate the tables by that time. So this is what we are going to follow. So the first step is requirement collection and analysis. So first of all, once you choose a particular area, you need to decide the scope and boundaries. For example, if you are taking restaurant, there are many parts in the restaurant also. The first is obviously there are different menu items. What are the ingredients? You need to store that. These menus are formed with the help of these ingredients. Which chef has the duty to do which shift, etc. And then there will be customers. And these customers will be ordering these menus. So you need to make sure that they are prepared, etc. So all the items which restaurant is offering to the customer that need to be stored somewhere. Customers needs to be stored somewhere. Ingredients that you have already within the restaurant so that you can make up those things should be stored somewhere. You can categorize those items that these are main dishes or these are just some side dishes. All these things you need to do. Now there is another part in the restaurant also. That is the financial part. Who got paid how much? How much we are spending on getting those ingredients or having the services in the restaurant? How much we are paying for electricity, air conditioning or these or that? So there is a financial aspect also. So what you are going to cover in your application? So you need to decide the scope. Similarly, a hospital can be a very big. You can just focus on doctors, nurses, patients, labs, tests, etc. Or you can also focus on these are the rooms in the hospital, who was in which room at which day, etc., etc. Who had which operation on which day, that also you can keep track of. So it can be a very big or a very small. So you need to decide your scope, limit, how much you are going to cover. That's the first step. Which part of that application area you are going to cover. And then you need to select some users and talk to them and find out what needs to be stored inside the database. For example, if you are creating for a pharmacy, you may try to talk to a person who is working in pharmacy to get to know what they need to be stored there for their day-to-day functioning. So that can be a good idea. In every system, there are more than one type of user. For example, in a hospital, there are doctors who are using the system. Their needs may be different. There are patients like us. Our needs are different. We don't need to see which doctor is performing which operation on which day. We don't need to see that. We just need to see whether our doctor is available on a particular day or what are our history, previous history, how many times we visited, what was the diagnosis, etc., etc. There may be nurses or lab technicians, they want something else from the same system. So there are multiple users and each group of users wants something to be stored. So your work is to get the needs of each group of users and then reconcile their different demands and create the data requirements. Let's take, I think it's already one, so let's take a break and then we will continue with this. Okay. Okay, shall we start now? All right, so you will decide the scope of the problem, the boundaries, what are the different users, and you will try to extract or gather the different users' view. So basically, there will be many users who are going to use that system. So try talking to them or imagining from that perspective, different users, because sometimes it's not possible to talk. Maybe they will refuse to talk. They don't have time to talk. So you need to think from what are the potential users and think from their perspective that what they want in the system to be stored. So if you will think, if you can identify, first define the boundary, define the different users and think from that perspective, it will help you to gather as much requirements as possible. For example, in the case of university, you can decide that we will just focus on the course grade part. Then you can think that there are users like teachers, there are students, there are lab assistants, etc. And then think from their perspective, each one. Keep yourself in their shoes and try to think what they need to do for their day-to-day functioning. And then you will be able to imagine or find out most of the data requirements. So that's what we are going to do. And many of the time, many users' view may overlap a little bit. For example, teacher also wants the courses and they want to see the courses. And student also want to do the same thing. Right? So there may be many overlapping views, but you need to identify the different group of users and see from their perspective what needed to be done. So basically, the assignment one is process of collecting and analyzing information about the part of the organization to be supported by the database system. So which organization you are choosing? Is it a hospital? Is it a travel agency? Is it a pharmacy? So you need to decide and then identify the users and think from their perspective. So basically, information will be gathered for each major user view regarding a description of data use or generated, details of data how to be used, and any additional requirements. So basically, this you are going to do. You will identify the user from each group of users. You will have the requirement. You will combine them off and you will submit it to me. And later on, we will use it to create the ER model. And finally, with the help of SQL, the tables. So what techniques you can use to gather the data requirements? You can use these techniques: examining documentation if it is accessible. If it is an imaginary problem, you can do the research on the internet. If you have a chance to interview any existing users, like if you are doing for travel agency, you may visit a travel agency. If you can interview them, you can gather the requirements from there. You can just observe or imagine how this organization works and you can get the data from there. You can do the research on the internet. There is vast amount of information present. Or questionnaire can be used for the users, provided users are ready to answer those questionnaires. So in your case, maybe you can interview and you can do the research. Majority it will be research, your imagination. I am not going into the detail of each of these fact-finding techniques. We all know what is an interview, what is a questionnaire, how to do the research, etc. Right? Can you? So I am not going into these, but if anyone is interested, this slide will be available on the blackboard, so you can use it. Is there anything important? There is an example also that how they have used the existing documentation or forms. This is a form of some dream home company. How the staffs are listed. So this actually, these kind of, if you have some documentation, it can help you to know many, many things. For example, you know that this company has different branches. So there should be something like branch. For every branch, you are storing information like what is the branch number, what is the address of the branch, and you are also storing the telephone numbers, more than one number. Then it will also give you information that the company is keeping details about their staff working in different branches. So there should be something which can store the details of the staff. And which details of staff? Details like number, name, position. So if you have some documentation from there also, you can gather some of the data requirements. Of course, when we will make the database, all this information cannot be in a single table, because basically this form consists of data from two different tables. One is the branch details and one is the staff details, and they are related. These staff is working on different branches, so there is a relationship. Similarly, this is about another form you found. So if you read this form, you will know that there are some details about the properties which are going to be rented by these staff to some customer. The form is coming next about the customers. So for every property, what needs to be the columns? Property number, what type it is, how many rooms, rent, address. Who is the? Then you need another table for owner details also, if you are going to implement this database. So there is owner details also and their addresses. And this is managed by the staff. So all this helps you to establish the relationship. So far, just by reading at two forms, you know that there are owners, there are properties, there is branch, there are staffs. And there is some relations between them. Staffs are managing those properties. And if I make it here, it will look something like this. Just by two forms, you got so much information. So you have staff. And there are staff details. You have properties with their details. You have owners with their details. And you have what else? Branch. And there is some relationship. These staff is working under these branches. These staff is managing this property. And these owner owns this property. A owner can own many properties. A property can be owned by one owner generally. A staff can manage many properties. A property is usually managed by one. A branch has many staff working under it. Something like this. If you don't understand, don't worry. We are going to study it from next week. So just by looking at two forms, you got some kind of a small model. This is the model we are going to make in conceptual modeling. Right? So this is the way, but it all depends how good your model and how complete your model is, depends on how good or complete your data requirements is. So the first assignment is the most important one. If you will miss something there, your conceptual model will be incomplete. And if that will be incomplete, then later in the database, some of the tables will be missing. So you have to be very, very careful at the first step. This is another one. These are the clients who are going to rent this property. So there is something else here. Clients with details. You are not making this in assignment one. You are just writing in simple English. This is another step. Okay? So this way you can find the forms or research or interview and try to create the data requirements. This is one example of data requirements. Again, it is a subset. It's not a complete for the university database. There is another one for the company. You can see how the data requirements are written from these examples. And I have given one of these examples in the assignment on the blackboard itself, how you need to write it. Any questions about the assignment one? Then we will move to the chapter two. So what we are going to learn in chapter 2 is about the data models. The main thing we are going to learn, what are the different data models and what are their categories. And one more important thing we will learn is tree schema architecture, data independence. We talked about data independence a little bit. And the languages. Let's see how much we can do today. So what is a data model? It is basically a set of concepts which helps you to describe the structure of the database. And there are different type of data models. Some are very simple and some are complicated. So usually when we try to create a database, we try to choose a data model which is very simple so that we can first make in that and then we convert it into some other data model which is acceptable by our MySQL server or Oracle or any other database management system we are using. Usually many of the data models also include their set of constraint and set of operations. Let's not go into the operations right now. When the relational model we will be discussing, we will talk about operations that time. So basically there are three categories of data model. And we are going to use these categories of data model. Basically two of them we are going to use. The first one is conceptual data model or high level data model. As the name suggests, it is more near towards how we human perceive the data. So it's much more simpler. The data which is defined with the help of a conceptual or high level data model is much simpler to see. This is an example of conceptual data model. This is basically one of the conceptual data model. We call it ER model. Entity, relationship, now it helps you to describe your data which is you are going to create inside a database environment like MySQL. So this is kind of a pictorial representation. Very simple. And is there any data here? No. It just shows you what will be your main tables and how they are related. And you don't have to load any data here, because that's not the purpose right now. We are not supposed to. We are just initially, when we get the data requirements, we try to make the conceptual model. Why we try to make it? Because it's easier to see our data, how it will be scattered and how there are many relationships. And it should not allow you to load the data, because we are still not sure whether this is the correct design or not. We are just experimenting. We just moved to, this is the first step, right? So we are just experimenting whether it should be like this, or whether there should be another table or another relationship. So it is very simple. You can make the changes, you can add, you can make more relationship. So there is no actual data. It just show you the structure, how the different tables and how they will be interrelated. Once you are sure, yes, question?
Can you be so factual to say that staff is an entity and managing is a relationship?
Yeah. Yeah.
A staff is also an object? Or?
Yeah, entity and object is the same thing. If you are thinking from object-oriented point of view, what we are talking here, entities, is actually the class there. And class is again a group of objects, right? Collection of objects. So here also we are talking in abstract terms, staff. We are not talking about a particular staff. But when we are talking about a particular staff with this ID and this name and this, then it is an object there. So same here, this is an entity type. And when we will talk about a particular staff, then it will be particular entity. So if you don't understand what I'm just saying, it's fine. We are going to learn, because he already have that background. That's why he was asking this question. So this is the first thing we will develop, high level. So we will start with high level. And after the data requirements, second assignment will be like this. Once you will naturally submit it to us, we will evaluate, we will give you feedback. And once you are sure that this is the way we are going to create our database, then is the data in this format inside MySQL? No. Inside MySQL, it is following another model, which is called relational model. And the data is in this format here. And then there will be a branch. So this is a relational model which comes under this category, implementational or representational data model. How it is represented inside a database environment. So one of the representational or implementational data model we are going to learn, and the example is relational model. There are many implementational model, hierarchical model, network model, object relational, but we are going to learn relational, because MySQL is based on relational model. Most of the commercially available database management systems are based on relational model. So we will learn one example of high level, that is ER model, and one example of implementational, that is relational model. Because making only the conceptual model is not going to solve our purpose. We can have the design like this, but we cannot store the data like this inside the computer. So we need to convert this into this format. So we need to use one of the representational data model. And we are going to use relational. But actually, database management systems show us the data in the form of tables, but on the disk, It's not in the form of tables. It's just streams of text and numbers and other things. And actually the operating system uses one of the physical data models to store it inside. How the data is actually stored on the hard disk, on the memory space. So that is physical data model. We are not going to learn it because it's outside the scope of our course, right? So we will only learn one of the conceptual and one of the implementational. Right? Clear? What we are going to do? Now, there are some terms which we need to learn. Database schema. What do we call schema? Schema is this. How many tables? How many columns in each table? What's the data type, number, character, what it is storing, what's the length? That is the schema. That is called database schema. So when we create the database, first thing is to create the schema. And then another thing is database state. Database state is what is the data inside the structure. So at this moment, this is the state, database state. Will it remain like this? What do you think is going to change more often, schema or state? State. As soon as you will add a new column, new row, a new state is created. If you delete something, a new state is created. If you update something, a new state is created. So that is also called instance. Instance keep on changing. Schema rarely changes. Until you add another table or add a column or change the data type or the length, schema usually is most of the time constant. And it has to be constant. That we make sure by making the conceptual model first. That we don't need to change the schema again and again. Otherwise, think about that. If you are not sure, every time you are changing the structure, and if you are changing the structure, you need to add or delete some of the data. So we try to make sure that our structure is strong enough, our base. Like when we make a house, we make sure that our base is strong enough. So schema is like a base, the whole structures, the relationship, and you make sure that you are coming up with the schema which is correct and complete enough. Because changing the data inside is easy, but changing the schema is little bit difficult. You need to go back and then add other, then you need to change your data again, and it will be lots of waste of time and effort, right? So database state refers to the content of a database at a moment of time. Initially, when you first load, that is called initial database state, and then it should remain in valid state. Valid state means your data is consistent, there is no problem. Whenever you are adding or deleting or manipulating, it is still valid, it is correct, it is complete, it is consistent. Schema is also called intention, another name. State is also called extension. This is an example of a schema. You only have the details of the two tables and their columns. Actually, one thing is missing here, the data type and the length of each of the column. This is the example of a state. Data inside tables at a particular moment of time, which keeps on changing. Then there is a three schema architecture, which is actually proposed to support program data independence. We talked about program data independence before, right? So let's see it quickly. This is this three schema architecture. So what you are going to do basically, in your project or assignment also, you will talk to different users and get their views, what they want to store. Each one have their different ideas. You will combine all of them and you will make the conceptual schema, the overall database, right? You may give them access, right, that this group of user only need this much. The other group of user only need to see this much. And how the data is stored inside on the disk, that is called internal schema. So from all the group of users, they have their own external schemas or sub-schemas. Collection of all users' view together make the conceptual schema, which is actually all the tables. And then how it is actually stored is the internal schema on the disk. So basically, if a user requests some data, that data is actually not there, it's here. So the DBMS take the request, find the data and give it back to the user. Actually, data is also not here, data is here, right? So this mapping is done by the DBMS, and here to extract the data, DBMS itself cannot do it. Who does this? Getting the data and everything from the disk or storing in the disk and everything. Which software is involved there? SQL is database management system. Whenever we are dealing with any of the storage medium or any of the peripherals, the operating system comes into picture. So if we are putting something from keyboard going into the screen or onto the storage medium, so here that's why this mapping is done by the DBMS with the help of operating system. In our case, Windows with the DOS at the base. So that helps. Some of you are using the Unix or other. Okay, let's not go into the detail. This is the important thing here. Logical data independence. The capacity to change the conceptual schema without having to change the external schemas. And physical data independence is the capacity to change internal schema without the need to change the conceptual schema. Most of the database management system allows us logical data independence. We can make the changes in the conceptual schema without the need to change the user's view. The other one is usually, the ability to change this without the need to change the others, because they all are interrelated. That is called physical data independence, and that is provided most of the time. The way the data is stored internally, that organization can change from one way to another and you will not be affected, because you will still see the data in your tabular format. So it will not be a problem. So it's easy to achieve, and most of the time it's there, because internally what's going on, it's not none of our concern. Sometimes they may be using linked list to store the data. Depends on the operating system basically. Or they may be using some other way to store the data. It may change from one way to another. It doesn't concern us. Our conceptual schema or sub-schema doesn't need to be changed. The logical data independence is you are making changes here and you don't need to make the changes there. And that is difficult to achieve. Why? Because what is here? It is the collection of external schemas, isn't it? Every user's view is collected together and we are making the conceptual schema. And if we are making some changes in the conceptual schema, at least one of the user's view is going to change, depending on which part you are changing. Or maybe many users' view is changed. So logical data independence is difficult to achieve. Physical data independence is mostly provided. Let's not go into the detail. It's too much details and you don't need to know most of the things. Now we are going to discuss about the languages. Just last 5-10 minutes, depending on the time. The full form is written there, data definition language. So actually all of these which is written here is provided by SQL. SQL is the integrated language, provides most of the things which is written here. So some of the commands are called data definition language commands. What are these commands? The commands which helps us is in defining the schema or making changes in the schema. For example, you have student table and it should have these columns and it should be numeric 11 digits long. So this structure is established with the help of one of the DDL command. So we call it create table command. Or later on, if you want to make some changes, add a column or make the changes in one of the length or something, that also comes here. Alter table command. You will see it in the next week lab. Or if you think you don't need this table anymore, drop table command. Don't use it until you are sure. Otherwise, your table will be gone. And the other commands are data manipulation language commands. So here we have different categories. One is just to retrieve the data. That means you are only retrieving, making no changes in the data. And the command is select. I have written it many times before. So that comes under DML. Another is manipulating the data or modifying the data. And in this, there are three. You can insert a new column, new row, for example, one, the name, address, something. You can update a row. For example, you can change this to A, or you can delete a full row. That means you are deleting the whole row. So that also comes. So DML consists of all the statements related with entering the data, modifying that data, deleting that data, or just viewing that data. Select is viewing, adding more data, rows, updating the row, deleting the row. And then we have some other commands which are called DCL commands. We will talk about it later. So SQL is actually an integrated language which contains all of this. It helps you to define the structure, DDL, and it helps you to manipulate also. Now, most of the language you might have seen so far, like C and other, they are called procedural programming languages. Like C, Java, and many other. And this is one category. The other is non-procedural languages. And SQL is non-procedural language. The difference between the two is, if you are using a procedural programming language, you need to tell through your program what you need to do and how to do it. So it's much more detailed. In non-procedural language, you just tell through your statement what you need to do. You don't have to specify how to do it. So this contains both what and how. This only is what you need to do. And that's why they are simpler to learn, because they are not very detailed. You just need to specify what data you want to access, what data you want to manipulate or delete or insert or what. You don't need to give all the commands that how to do it. These are the details we don't need to go. You just need to know this much. This is an example of non-procedural. We just discussed SQL is a non-procedural language. It is also called high level. You just specify what data to retrieve rather than how to retrieve it. If you are using low level, then you need to specify how also. But with simplicity comes some limitations also. Many of the things which you can do in the procedural languages, you cannot do in SQL. For that, there is another extension of SQL that is called procedural extension to SQL, or in short we call it PLSQL. We are not going to learn in this. This provides you the capability of SQL as well as the things which are normally offered by procedural programming languages, like looping, conditions, everything. Because in SQL, if you want to execute a statement based on a condition, you cannot do it. There is no if then else. There is no looping. Every statement is separate from others. So if you want to do that, you need to use additional constructs from PLSQL, and you need to make a script, and then you can do that. Then we have the different architectures which are used in database management system, centralized. This is a centralized architecture. Everything is on one system. So we have all these things are there. The server is somewhere. Database is there. The database management system is also there. And you are connecting to that server through your system. Your system can be just standalone monitors, or it can have some its own capability. So client side is here, and you are connecting through a network, and you are extracting everything from there. Then there can be two-tier structure, and it is in this format. I don't want to go into much detail, because it is too much for the first week. If any one of you are interested, we can come back later. In your case, actually, you have your own personal standalone database management system. And it is a single user. You yourself is using it. Nobody else can. That's all you need to know. But normally the database application can be, everything is on one computer. The database, the application, the client side, you can have two-tier also. Half is there and half is on the front end. You can have three-tier also. Let's not go into the detail. But those who are accustomed to or who are familiar with database applications may understand some of the things. We have the GUI interface at somewhere, and then on some other server we have application programs, and then we have the database management system. For example, many of the mobile applications which we use, the client is on our phone, and through the network we are connecting somewhere. The application programs are there and database is there. But we have the client side, the interface part on our our phone. So basically most of the database applications have three different layers, but all of them are basically the programs with the data. We talked about this little bit, how the database applications came into picture, and this is the history. We started with hierarchical network. Now we are using relational. There are object-oriented also, object-relational also, which didn't become as famous as we expected. So this is the history of relational, which we are going to use. So this is the end of today's session. And next time we will start the conceptual model. Please, because right now you, most of you are here, please make up your teams and send me the names if possible. Because otherwise it will be difficult for you to meet with each other and then make, because you have just 1.5 week to do the assignment one. Yeah.
Check if
you're my email. Okay. I can check here also. Okay, I'll check and I'll make and I'll post the groups.
I have a short question about mutation. I think that the